Welcome to today's episode of HFS Unfiltered. And today we are excited to talk about the convergence of the physical and the digital world with none other than Piyush, who heads SDX and AI at LTTS. And by the way, LTTS just came out as a market leader in our most recent IoT Horizon. So I'm delighted to have you here, Piyush.
Thanks for having me, Saurabh. My pleasure to join on this podcast with you.
So Piyush, tell me, you've been in this field for so long. What's been the most exciting IoT use case you've worked on, and why?
We have been working for many years now, because IoT is not new. It was something that possibly started somewhere in the 2010s and 12s, where Cisco came out with this concept that Internet of Everything. And I think it was a Industry 4.0 predecessor that kind of took it off. So we have been actually engaged on this for many years now. And it has matured. Case studies, if I have to say that way, which have been quite challenging but very interesting work that we did. One was for a plant engineering customer where they wanted their critical assets in the plant to be kind of instrumented and monitored and managed. And they were looking for an IoT kind of solution where a lot of data was getting generated by this critical asset. It was a complex plant layout. So they wanted to see how to harness all the data that's coming in onto a platform. And the challenging part was not that. Challenging part was, how do you model this different equipment? What are the critical parameters that you're going to monitor? How are you going to model the the parameters, data being acquired? And then model of what do you deduce from that data? Right, so it needed a lot of not just the technical expertise of how you lay out that entire IoT architecture, but also a lot of domain expertise to understand the parameters that are coming in. How do you put them into the model? How do you construct the model to decipher the patterns and so on? So it was a pretty long exercise for us to even prove to the customer that this is going to be useful, because they had their doubts. They wanted to experiment this entire concept of IoT and how it can help them monitor the equipment, bring in preventive maintenance, predictive maintenance kind of functionality to their plant. So it took us quite a long time to really get this structure in place, get the parameters out, iterate through the models to see how those parameters make sense. And once we could prove it to them, that kind of data that was coming in, what it was telling, and how we could actually save their downtime. We did it for one plant to start with, right? And once they started seeing that outcome, is when they started believing in it, and then they allowed us to roll it out into a number of plants thereafter. But that entire exercise, it was a learning curve for us as well. So for me and my team, it was also a great learning to understand the industrial side of things, how the equipment is actually working in the field, the kind of data it is generating, what do it implies, what does downtime for a plant truly mean in terms of the business impact it creates and so on. So I think I would say that was a very challenging exercise for us. It was a long project for us to get this thing done, but it was very satisfactory in the end that we could actually give the business benefit that the customer was looking for. The second use case was for an industrial customer who is into lighting business, and they were developing smart lights. This was already a smart product, but their whole goal was, as this lighting actually gets into a city installation, they wanted to see how to smartly monitor it to save carbon footprint. So the goal was to really do the energy saving and prove it to the municipality corporation of the city, that by smartly managing, how do you really save carbon footprint? So the challenge for us was to make sure that the model that we were constructing on the platform, such that when there is no one there, the streets are kind of not completely dark, because that's not what the city would want, but they're kind of dimmed out. And when there is someone there, it brightens up again and dims out. And how do you configure how much dimming and brightening that you need to do? So all of that, again, was very interesting. So it was a little bit of a complex layout, but then how do you put a platform in place to harness that and then put a model, arrive at the data savings that you can showcase in terms of carbon footprint reduction? So again, to construct the algorithm, the model, I would say, again, that was another challenging one and quite satisfactory one, which we implemented for a large city installation for this lighting company.
Yeah, Piyush, both of them are fascinating, because it's almost like the physical and the digital worlds are converging, right? And at the same time, it's not just the physical and the digital world, but we've been talking about IT and OT convergence. But I think there is a BT convergence, which is business transformation, that's also happening, which was very evident in your first use case. Where is this world heading next from your perspective? What are you looking forward to in the next couple of years? What are some of the big technology trends that you're looking at?
So IoT, like I said, right, has come a long way from those early days of just trying to connect and make the equipment smarter so that you can pull in data, to the maturity has set in terms of how the data is harnessed, structured, and now you can actually put the analytics on top of it and perhaps even AI. The future trend is definitely trying to make it more AI friendly, where a lot of decisions that are still human centric, you know, the most of the implementation still get the analytics piece into it, create the visualizations and dashboards, and still rely on humans to make the decisions, depending on the trends that are being seen. But I think the future is really where the machines themselves will take decisions on when and what to do to prevent a certain, you know, incident to happen, or even predict the kind of, you know, correction that needs to happen, right? So let's say in a plant, when this machines are generating data and the AI is actually monitoring, and if they find out that there is a particular part that's going to have a wear and tear, today, the dashboard will give you that indication. It will go to the field monitoring person. They may take a decision on when that they need to order the part in advance and so on. But the future would be where the AI can actually do the ordering by itself. When they know that there is a time that the wear and tear is going to happen, they can do a pre-order of the part that can be there. The order can be delivered. And then obviously there may be a human intervention involved in replacing the part at the right point in time. But the kind of intelligence that is coming in because of the data and the advancements in AI, I think that's going to make IoT extremely, extremely useful for business outcomes. And more importantly, that's an exciting field that's going to happen going forward. And again, generative AI is a new kid on the block. How do you bring in a more prompt-oriented generative AI kind of intelligence into the IoT platform that you've already built in, which can help not only just look at what is being seen, but what can be possibly happening, what if scenarios that can be actually done using that, could be another area of exciting development that may be happening. So a lot of possibilities are opening up, largely AI driven, I would say, because the data part is now getting, people have got a better understanding of it. They have got a better idea of how data needs to be harnessed and harmonized. But I think how do you apply AI intelligently on top of it is where I think the world is moving.
Yeah, no, I think we are moving towards more and more autonomous world, as you rightly mentioned, where machines can make some decisions on their own and not everything has to be flown through humans. But I think technology is moving faster than our culture and our mindset. And, you know, I think all the organizations have so much of enterprise debt. While we are talking about this autonomous world on one side, we are doing the same things the same way that we did, you know, 30, 40 years ago, maybe slightly cheaper, slightly faster, slightly better. And as a result, despite a lot of these technology promises, whether it's IoT, whether it's AI, we've seen this story repeat again and again, Piyush. The promise seems to be never fulfilled, right? There's something or the other that's holding us back. And it's not technology. In your experience, what is holding us back, right, to realize the full potential of whether it's IoT or AI or frankly any other technology?
In my view and my experience, I think the technology advancements are definitely moving at a very fast pace, particularly in the last 2-3 years, the way AI has transformed itself is, I think, phenomenal. The challenge obviously is still change management that is required at the human level. Now let me go back to the case study I was talking about, this entire plant stuff that we did, right? The biggest challenge we had was when we got these models in place, the people who were actually on the plant monitoring the equipment, doing the legacy way, when we gave them these dashboards, it took a long time for them to accept the dashboards because they had to change the way they're going to use this new dashboards and technology. So how do you make sure that they accept them, the reskilling that is required for them to be able to adapt to these new changes? Is a cumbersome process. And I think our customer themselves went through quite a painful journey to make sure that they're able to get the people adapted to the new technology. Now, if you look at in general, as consumers, you know, we are far more adapting to the technology with everything that we do, you know, with our phones today or with our cars today and stuff like that. But when you go to the industrial world, I think we are still behind in terms of adopting technology. There could be fear of jobs. It could be fear of the learning new methods. there is a general fear that, you know, this technology is going to replace people. But my experience largely says not replacing people, is becoming assistant to people. People obviously will have to learn new ways of doing things. But that, I think the change management has been the most tough when it comes to, you know, adopting and getting the full potential out of this. On the consumer side, because consumer behavior has been changing much more rapidly, you don't see it as often. But I think on the industrial side, where things are still in a lot of legacy and old way that's working, the change is quite dramatic for them. So I think, you know, that is, in my view, where the maximum planning, maximum effort from the management is required to ensure that this money that is spent.
I completely agree with you. I think it's the mindset, the culture, the change that sort of holds us back. It's not really, we don't have the technology or the toys to play with.
Absolutely.
So flipping that question, you know, I think you talked about how important it is for enterprises and clients who want to adopt these technologies, whether it's IoT or AI. But I think our model as service providers will also need to change, right? And we've been doing, yes, we've been implementing new technologies, but our model of servicing has been the same. How is LTTS changing? Also, as you look at all these emerging technologies, AI, you know, we at HFS are talking more and more about services as software, not just software as services, and the whole agentification of everything practically right. That we're talking about. So how are you guys changing yourselves?
For the last 30, 40 years, I think broadly, it is still coming down to the base thing of what is the skill and the experience and the capability of the engineer that you're putting on a particular program. But I think progressively, we are seeing a lot of change happening, even on the client side, where they are coming forward and telling us that we want you to come and solve a problem for us. Don't come and just tell us what you are capable of. From then on, I think because the technology is shifting so rapidly, even our customers are not yet, you know, they can't call themselves as masters anymore. Like what used to be, let's say, 10 years ago, where they were the masters and we were more followers. Now, I think it's a field where they are also learning. And in some cases, perhaps they are learning from the service providers, because service providers have a much wider perspective of technology application across different industries. Idea is not to go and prescribe anything to the customer, rather go sit with them, understand what truly their problem is, and then come with a solution which could include components of something that we already have done, the experience we have gained from maybe some other industry, the kind of body of work that we already have. How do you assimilate all of that, but make it a solution that is specific to their business, solving their specific problem, and not just try to come and say, okay, I have done this in the past, I can just come and replicate it for you. So I think that is a shift that we are doing at LTTS. We're trying to say that we want to be coming and solving and helping you solve the critical problems you have in your business.
No, that's fascinating, Piyush. And I would love to keep going on with this conversation. But before I let you go, I'll ask you one final question. If let's say we grant you one wish that could come true, and let's make it only one wish, what would that be?
If there is one wish that you grant me, it would be more open mindset, both at the customer end and at the provider end, to really come together and say, okay, this is how we will be able to take this forward and adopt the new technology for the benefit of the world at large. The climate change related impact, or, you know, safety and security impact, and so on. And I think as service providers also, my wish is that, you know, we are also going to them with an open mind, saying that, yes, we want to work together and help solve the most critical problems that are being faced in the world today. So I think if we are able to do this jointly together, I'm sure there's enough and more satisfaction and business benefits that both customers and us can gain together out of that.
Oh, this has been fantastic, Piyush. Thanks for taking out the time. I truly agree that, you know, the lines are blurring, whether it's the physical world and the digital world, whether it's software and services, whether it's technologies, you know, the lines are blurring and it's becoming a whole converging blob of problem solving, essentially. And I like the fact that, you know, we have to have an open mind, whether you are an enterprise or a service provider. Nobody knows everything right now. And I think if you keep an open mind and start to look at this converging world where the lines are blurring, I think there's probably a greater chance of success. So on that note, Piyush, thanks for taking out the time. I really enjoyed the conversation. So thanks a lot.
Thank you, Saurabh. My pleasure.